in order to be successful in our environment, you have to be dedicated to it. And you have to be switched on, and you have to want to be there. And it's not for everybody. You know, there are kids that come, and you know, we're in the middle of the desert. You know, we're surrounded. We always joke we're surrounded by about 5 miles of desert. So for the boys, they have to, you know, it's almost like a big playground for them. Mm-hmm. But for some of the boys, if they come, maybe it's when they're not quite mature enough, you know, they go through a little bit of adversity. Sometimes they're, you know, maybe steering away from that, and they want to go back to the home comforts. You know, what we find in the reward aspect is when you see someone get through that and then go on and be successful, it's you know, really rewarding for us as a staff, because you can see the development from them going into being a 14, 15 year old into a 17, 18 year old man, and how do they then transition. And you know, we often find when they do then go off into the college world, they have a bit of a head start.
Welcome back, everybody. We're here at the United Soccer Coaches Convention in Philadelphia. This is episode 43, and we have Jed Quinn on the show for this episode. He is the Academy Director at Barca Academy in Arizona. So, Jed, why don't you just kind of tell us about your background and, you know, how you've gotten to where you are now?
Yep, absolutely. First off, thanks for having me on, fellas. It's just great.
Yeah, thanks for being here.
No,
yeah.
Great to meet you guys. A little bit of my story. I originally from the northeast end of England. Came over to America in 2005. Played at a small Division II school in North Carolina called Lenoir Ryan University. So played there for a couple of years. Original plan was to do my master's, go back home. Fell in love with it out here. After I'd finished playing at North Carolina, I went up to actually this area. I was in Reading, Pennsylvania, for about 7 years. Worked with a small club out there, as well as playing and coaching in USL2. Transitioned into a probably more well-known club, FC Delco, in the Philadelphia area. Worked with them for a couple of years. And then Sean McCafferty, who was the academy director at FC Delco, took over as the academy director in Arizona with what was, you know, Real Salt Lake were moving out of the facility where our current academy is, and they were starting the connection with Barcelona. So Sean brought me down initially as a coach back in 2017. You know, worked with the U15s and the U17s the first 2 years, and then Sean actually moved back to the Northeast, became the academy director at New York Red Bulls, and at that point I was elevated into the academy director in Arizona. So being there now 3.5 years as the director, 5.5 years altogether. So it's been a fun ride so far.
And how long has Barca Academy in Arizona been established?
So it started in 2017. So
okay.
It was originally where Real Salt Lake, the facility was where Real Salt Lake had their academy residency, very similar model. They then built their own residency program in Utah. So when they were moving out, you know, the ownership group of the facility were looking to find someone to come in and replace it, formed the affiliation with Barcelona, and obviously then we built the staff from scratch. So when I went down, there was just myself, Sean, and one other coach starting the project, as well as Miha Klein, who's our director of recruitment. And we were building teams from scratch, you know, that first year. And we've now grown the staff. You know, we now have a full staff of around 32, 33 full-time. You know, that goes from coaches to residential advisors to athletic trainers. You know, there's a big support staff in place that helps us, you know, make it work.
That's great. There are several Barca academies around the country, but you're the only one that's, like, officially affiliated with La Masia, right?
So they're all officially affiliated. We're the only residential one. So essentially what we do is we try and use those academies to filter the best players from the different regions into our residency program. So we actually next week have a camp going on that's specific for those different Barca academies. So they come to us, and we look to try and maybe select the best ones.
So you're like the hub of America, basically.
Correct, yeah. We try and basically be that top of the pyramid for those Barca academies within the U.S.
Gotcha.
And then kind of set up how like the residency was for the U.S., similar to that.
Similar to that. And we have, you know, all told, we have 8 teams within the academy. So we have 4 teams that play in the MLS Next. And then we have 4 teams that play in what we call an Elite Academy League. But they're all, you know, they're all doing the same thing. You know, they're all working through the same model. So we're looking to try and always build those rosters and essentially bring in the best talent that we can to, you know, to represent the club. So
what is your actual relationship with La Masia? How does that work?
Yeah, so good question. So we actually have 2 full-time technical directors, for lack of a better word, who are employed by Barcelona, who are with us. You know, so they don't coach any teams. Their job is essentially to make sure that the coaches are, you know, following the methodology, making sure that we have the structure in place, making sure that they're available for coaches to meet with on a daily basis, you know, so coaches can, you know, go through their session plans, get feedback, get review. They'll be out watching all of the games. And then obviously they're in almost daily communication with the staff actually in Barcelona. So we use a lot of the same structures, the same, you know, planning schedules. We try and mirror as much as we can what they're doing in La Masia in our, you know, in our facility as well.
So obviously that comes down to the training, but like, what does like a typical day look like at your academy? Like, does that look very similar to how they move around?
As much as we can make it the same. There are some variations just based on the schooling schedule. So the boys start school at around 8 a.m. in the morning. That's the slight difference with La Masia. They'll actually train in the morning and then go to school afterwards. But so our guys are in a brick and mortar school. We actually have a connection with ASU High School, ASU Prep High School.
And is that on the campus?
It's actually at the facility, yeah. So the guys basically walk from the dorm room to the school. And
that's awesome.
The school is connected to the same building where we have our strength and conditioning room, our locker rooms, you know, our offices are all in that same building. So I meet once a week with the school just to make sure that the boys are doing what they need to there, because the main pathway for our guys, as much as we have guys going on to sign pro, majority are still going to college, you know, so it's a big deal to make sure for all of them that they're getting that high school education at a bare minimum to set them up, hopefully, for the, you know, if they're good enough to go pro, brilliant. But majority are still going to go that college pathway. So the brick and mortar school is there on site. There's a full staff that's sort of independent high school staff. The school is open to outside students as well. So it's got about 200 students, but about 130 of them are our guys.
What would be the benefit for those students that go to school there that aren't a part of the academy?
So it's more so convenient for them. It is a prep school, so it's a college prep school, so they can do college classes and things like that.
Gotcha.
Some of them that are in the local Casa Grande area just think it's a good school to go to. So they'll come, and it is at the point where we're almost filling it out so much that we're probably going to need to expand the school.
So you know, it is a strong academic
absolutely
school,
yeah, it is. It's got a good reputation, and it sets the boys up. So probably to go back to your original question, what is a day like? They go to school from, you know, 8 o'clock till around 3 o'clock. You know, they have a lunch break in between where they just go over to the dining hall. As soon as they come out of school at 3 o'clock, the older teams, our U17s, U19 teams, they'll go and get changed almost straight away. They have a quick snack, but then they'll go and get changed, and they'll do a session with our strength and conditioning guy. And then they'll be out on the field from around 4:30. They'll start activation, and then we'll go 4:45 till 6:15. So they do about 90 minutes in the evening. And then we have the second time slot comes in after that. So the second time slot.
So each group is always going to have two sessions a day.
So for 3 days a week they'll do strength and conditioning, and then 4 days a week they'll do the field session. So we train at the minute. We go Mondays, Tuesdays night is always an off night. So that's where we'll use it to, you know, essentially do what teenagers do. They might go do a mall trip. They might go, you know, to the cinema. They might go and get haircuts. They have, you know, all of those things which you sometimes forget about with having 120 teenage boys living at the facility. So Tuesdays is the off night where they can get caught up on homework, do all of those things. And then Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, we train. And then weekends is games. So if we have away games, a lot of the time we're traveling to California. So the school is actually only Monday through Thursday. The school adjusted the schedule to have slightly longer days, 4 days a week, which allows us then on a Friday, if we have games in California on the Saturday, it allows us to leave Friday morning. So we'll train in the morning, shower, on the bus.
That's a good deal. Because, I was thinking when you said 8 to 3, it seemed like that was a bit long, considering that it's, you know, it's a residency. You'd think they might train during the day and stuff like that too, but to your point, them only getting 4 days of it, you know, you have the whole extra day to do what you got to do on the weekends.
Correct. They have the Fridays off from school, you know, so if we have a home game, they'll still have off on the Friday, and that's when we'll do more stuff during the day with them. We'll have our athletic trainers might come in and do a yoga session, you know, or they might do some extra S&C, or they might be doing some, you know, small group training. You know,
would you prefer it like that, or do you think maybe like a shorter day but going 5 days would be better?
Selfishly, for me, if I could, you know, if we could just manipulate the whole schedule, we would say they train in the mornings and then they go to school afterwards. You know, we're a little bit at the mercy of the school schedule, and then maybe they do shorter days at school and you know, they have less of that flexibility around that.
I think it would just be better to train in the morning anyway. Because I can remember that age just having just a bad day at school.
And you
just got to go to practice and it's like, oh.
Because the reason I ask is there's a residency in Dallas called Allegiance Academy. their director, Pedro, I've known for a little while. He was the coach for our semi-pro team one year okay. when we had our teams in Footy Factory and everything. But now he coaches with me at DKSC.
Yeah.
So he's the U15 coach, and sorry, U16, U14, U13. So all of his boys go to school there, yep. and they'll train first thing in the morning from like 7 to 9, 7:30 to 9. They'll go shower, they'll go to class, they'll get their lunch, they have a chef there. You know, they'll do everything that they got to do academically. And then as soon as school ends, they'll get their second session right away. So they'll actually get their team session, you know, around 4 o'clock, whereas like my team trains at 7:30 at night, you know. So it's like that's one way of doing it too. You guys do it a little bit different. But how many other like residencies, full proper like residencies are there in the U.S.? Do you know?
Yeah, so there's a few. I know obviously there may be more, but I know the ones that I know of. There's IMG Academy, obviously, that has multiple sports.
Right.
You know, the Shattuck St. Mary's up in Minnesota, I think, is where they're based. I believe they have multiple sports as well, but they have a good soccer program there as well. And then obviously I know on the MLS side, Real Salt Lake have a full residency program. You know, they, when they moved out of our facility, they built a new one in Utah. I know a lot of the MLS clubs do more of like the homestay, you know, where they'll utilize families to help as opposed to a full residency. And I think the Union do it, probably a little bit more of the Philadelphia Union do a really good job of you know, having the guys do some stuff in the morning with the YSC school and then team training in the evening. You know, one of the reasons we get away from what maybe is the morning stuff, because we get asked that question a lot from parents, is, well, you know, they're going to do morning sessions, are they going to, you know, double it up, we've got the residency. And you know, with the Barca guys coming in, they're very much more almost quality over quantity.
It's, you know, like a slow process.
Yeah, they want to manage the workload, and they want it to be when you're on, you're working and you're hard, and we don't want to overload you so that you're doing a morning session and then you come to the team session in the evening and, you know, your energy's not there,
right.
or quality's not there.
Yeah.
And then the other challenge we face a little bit with sometimes, you know, my ideal scenario, saying we would train in the mornings, is we aren't all 100% residency. We do have some kids that commute in from the Tucson area, from the Phoenix area, so they go to independent schools. So sometimes we're working a little bit with them. You know, if we could, in an ideal model, get everybody full residency, then we would probably be able to work with the school a little bit more and manipulate the schedule a little bit more.
Yeah. Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
So then I guess, to kind of go back on that, at the residence itself, are there like chaperones that are kind of looking after the kids, or is that all the coaches that are doing that?
So no, we do have a resident life staff who are tremendous. So we have, ironically, my wife is actually the director of resident life, so she's basically the team mom for 130 kids. You know, so she has then a full staff under her that live on the campus. So they're, you know, doing room checks in the evening. They're, you know, again, chaperoning the boys on mall trips, you know, taking them for haircuts, taking them to doctor's appointments, you know, all of the parenting stuff that we need to do because the parents aren't there. You know, they're in our care. So
are they allowed to come and visit? And
parents are, yeah. We have a hotel that's on campus, so if there's room in the hotel, and actually some of our boys live in the hotel room, so we have dorm rooms and an 8-story hotel. We take up 4 floors of the tower building, and then parents are able to come and stay there. If the hotel's sold out, if we have a camp going on, there's a couple of other hotels in Casa Grande, but they can come and visit as much or as little as they want.
Nice. So. And what about like friends? Are they allowed to invite friends to come see them, or?
They can. They're not allowed to have friends in the room or overnight, because obviously they have the roommates, and you know, we try and have the rooms be a little bit off, you know, off grounds for anybody that's coming to visit, and just have it be the boys' room.
Yeah.
And we try and have parents do the same, you know, but there is a restaurant and bar on site that they can, you know, if the families want to go and take a child to have some dinner, they can do that. If they want to sign them out, you know, they can take them off campus as well. So
that's awesome. It must be so rewarding to work in like such a like all soccer high performance environment. Like that's where I want to be, and it's something that I'm trying to implement with the group that I have, but there's so many limitations. Mm-hmm. That it's really just like we're doing more than most, but still not enough to catch up to organizations like yourself and other professional players at their age around the world, you know? Yep. So it's like at that age, U17, they're going pro. Like, players around the world are going pro. And, you know, they're just not even close to that level. So it's like, we got to do so much more. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's only so much we can do if kids are going to school. Some of them went off and are playing high school soccer. And yep. It's like, that's just a distraction. You know, they're not really, like, fully invested into it the way that players, like, probably what I would imagine players at the Barca Academy are.
Yeah, it's, I mean, probably go back to your original question of, you know, how rewarding is it? For me, it's been the most rewarding place I've been able to work. You know, when I first moved down in 2017, the first 18 months, me and my wife were fully immersed as well. We lived on site. You know, you were in amongst the boys, you were helping them. You know, sometimes someone's homesick, you're having those deals. But even on the, you know, the high-performance side of the, you know, the players that we're working with, you know, in order to be successful in our environment, you have to be dedicated to it. And you have, yeah. you have to be switched on and you have to want to be there. And it's not for everybody. You know, there are kids that come and, you know, we're in the middle of the desert. You know, we're surrounded. We always joke, we're surrounded by about 5 miles of desert. So for the boys, they have to, you know, it's almost like a big playground for them. Mm-hmm. But for some of the boys, if they come, maybe it's when they're not quite mature enough, you know, or they go through a little bit of adversity. Sometimes they're, you know, maybe steering away from that and they want to go back to the home comforts, you know. But what we find in the reward aspect is when you see someone get through that and then go on and be successful, it's you know, it's really rewarding for us as a staff, because you can see the development from them going into being a, you know, 14, 15 year old into a 17, 18 year old man, and how do they then transition. And, you know, we often find when they do then go off into the college world, they have a bit of a head start.
Oh, 100%. They're already by themselves.
They've already had to do their own laundry. They've already had to, mm-hmm. you know, set their alarm clock in the morning and make sure they're not late for school. Sometimes you have to chase them up on that. But, you know, a lot of the times it gives them that extra maturity factor that just helps set them up for the real world.
Yeah, that's what it's all about, man. That's what it's all about. So, like, do you have players that you've noticed where their mindset is not there, where they don't have clear aspirations to go pro?
We do. I think what we're probably seeing more now is almost the opposite. Everybody wants to go pro.
Yeah.
You know, and I think, again, well, like I mentioned before, if someone's coming into our environment, majority of them have that drive. You know, they have that, this is where, you know, I want to be pro. Even if they're not, you know, quite good enough to make a pro, we'll always advise and get them. You know, again, like I said, majority of the guys are going to go the college pathway. We actually face probably more of the challenge of the guys, you know, wanting to see, I'm not looking at college, and we say, you need to be looking at college.
Yeah,
you know?
So at least kind of prepare for that just in case.
Yeah, we try and be as transparent and as honest with the guys as we can, you know, to give them realistic goals that they can achieve. And if you achieve it, and then what's the next one? What's the next one? But I'll give you an example probably of a kid that maybe he knew he was good, but he didn't realize how good. We had a player that was with us for 3 years, a guy called Luka Sawinski, started with us on one of our secondary teams. And, you know, super smart guy. If he didn't make it in soccer, he would be a CEO in a business. Just real smart kid, good academically, really driven, but probably didn't realize how good he was. Started on our second team. By the next year, moved up to our U17s, and then senior year was on our U19 MLS team. And he was on a team of top players, you know, some good players that maybe, you know, on the surface outshone him a little bit. But they moved on into the pro game, you know, mid-season. So it came to the point where he all of a sudden rose to the top and became such an influential player for the team. And I was having meetings with him, and he asked me a question: Do you think I'm good enough to, you know, to go in the pro game? I said, yeah, absolutely, you are. I said, but, you know, you need to make sure, if you're going to make that decision, that it makes sense for you, because you're an academic kid. You know, you've got to make sure that, you know, there's a lot of options in the pro game now that 10 years ago probably weren't there. And are you willing to sacrifice a big scholarship to, you know, take that risk and go on? I think more of the kids are willing to do that. But, you know, long story short, Luka Sawinski ended up signing with FC Tulsa after our summer playoffs, and then in his, I think his first start in October, scored a hat-trick for them, you know, in USL Championship, and is now going into his second season. And 3 years ago was on our secondary team, you know, under the radar, you know. But you know, those are the types of kids that sometimes you have to big them up a little bit and say, yeah, absolutely.
So him, it was more of a confidence issue, not necessarily a desire. Like, he wanted to go pro.
Correct, yeah. It was more of a, am I good enough question. You know, am I good enough? And a flip, you know, another example of probably the different mentality would be a Diego Luna, who was with us for 3.5 years, who signed from us with El Paso Locomotive in the USL Championship, and then just recently this past year signed with Real Salt Lake. You know, he was a kid that came in, special player, special talent. You know, but would be overlooked a little bit because if he didn't pass the eye test, he was, you know, this little, you know, heavy set guy.
Yeah, I actually, I know who you're talking about.
Yeah, he's, you know, he's with the U20 national team right now. But, you know, he was with us for 3.5 years, and just a special talent, you know, in my opinion, but to the point where when we're coaching him, I've been working with.
I know who you're talking about. He is unreal.
He's exciting.
Unreal.
He's an ex. I used to, when he was in training with us, I'd say, look, I'd pay money.
Is he the one with all the tattoos?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, exactly, so you're talking about.
He's only 19 years old. Yeah, just he's Real Salt Lake. And, I think this year in the MLS will be his first full season in the MLS.
I can see that, yeah.
And I see him, you know, predicting him to have a good year. You know, if Real Salt Lake use him, I think he'll impress a lot of people. His mentality was, you know, he came to us and he was like, he never had any ideas I'm going to go the college route. It was like, no, I'm going pro. I know I'm good enough and that's the pathway I'm on.
Yeah.
That's great because we can just help facilitate that. We know, and it's ultimately up to us to just try and create those opportunities for the guys and put them on a platform where they can be successful.
Yeah. I think it's your environment that basically, like, creates that energy for them already. Like, they're not going to enter your environment unless they already have that goal of going to the highest level.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and I think that's an area that I struggle with right now because obviously I'm trying to create that environment, but we don't have a campus, you know. We don't have a residency. So it's like half of my players, I don't even think that they know what they want, you know, whether they want to go to college, whether they want to go pro. And it's like I'm struggling to figure out how to motivate them to want to, or if it's like if they don't want it, they don't want it, and I just let it be, that kind of thing.
Yeah,
you know,
it's tough because I think we've all been in those environments where you're trying to, you know, almost internally motivate a kid to bring the best out of them. What we've seen is because majority of the boys that come into our environment are so driven, if you don't at least try and match that, you get eaten alive almost. You know, you just don't survive in that environment because your teammates don't allow you to.
Right.
You know,
and that's what it comes down to is the players that I have that are, like, all in, they've got to hold the other ones accountable.
Yeah, it's internal. And it comes down to the culture of the club.
Yeah.
And that trickles down, hopefully, then into the culture of the coaches and the teams and the players. And that then intrinsically, you know, just works its magic and has everybody pulling together.
And then financial-wise, does Barca cover it? Or is it kind of like there's scholarships and some do and some don't?
It's almost the best I can probably compare it to would be like a college scholarship process. So we do have scholarships available, and families will, you know, it's basically from 0 to 100%, you know, from anywhere. We do have guys that are, you know, zero, and then you have guys anywhere in between. So it's based on a lot of factors, you know, first off, how good the player is, where do we see them on the depth chart, you know, how good are they academically, what's the financial situation of the family. There's a lot of factors that go into it. We always want to try and make it work. You know, within reason. You know, obviously there are a lot of expenses that come in, so there's a lot of those scholarships that help those players to, you know, to come in and be successful.
So what would you say is the biggest difference, like, in terms of the developmental opportunity that your players have versus the average MLS Next player or ECNL player?
Yeah, it's a good question. And I mean, I think I'll preface that answer with there's a lot of clubs that do, in my opinion, a really good job. You know, when I say the term regular clubs, just by the fact that not residency, you know, where maybe the contact hours are less. I think one of our advantages is first off the methodology side. You know, working with the Barca methodology sort of opened my eyes a little bit. You know, when I first came in 2017, I look back and I go, what was I doing before this? You know, what, you know, I was not that I was doing it all wrong, but I just look and go, like, you know, I wish I could have those years back.
It's just,
you know,
eye opening.
It was a real eye opener. When I first came in, there was a guy called Dennis Silva that was the first technical director from Barcelona, and he was only there for 3.5 months before he got called back to take actually the under 18s at La Masia. But I learned so much of him in the first 3 months that it was just as a coach, I'm like, this is like the golden book of, you know, learning the game, and now all I want to do is pass this on to the player. So I think that the methodology and the style of play is an advantage. I also know there's more than one way to play the game, and that's you know, other clubs have different philosophies, and it's sometimes great to see how they match up. But for me, one of our big advantages is the style of play, the methodology. I think another big advantage we have is our staff. We have a tremendous staff from not just the coaches, but the athletic trainers, the resident life staff, our scouting department, our recruiting department, you know, trying to leave no stone unturned and, you know, finding the next best player. The culture that we have, that we try and create, I think is always a positive one. And I think this is where probably the biggest differential would be the residency aspect allows you so much more contact hours and so much more time to not only get to know the boys as soccer players, but, you know, get to know them as a person, get to know them as a student, get to know them as a, you know, get to know the family a little bit. You know, we have a lot of interactions with the parents and the players, which I know you can create in a regular club.
Yeah.
But we find that because the boys are living together, going to school together, training together, you know, hanging out together, they become really, it's a brotherhood that we see at the academy. And when we go into games, that little edge. It might just be a small edge, but that social effect of, you know, advantage of the boys just being in it together,
yeah.
You know, and you know, living and dying together on the field, I think is a real big advantage that just comes by osmosis of the residency program, and is one of the big pluses for me, I think. So.
Yeah, you can't beat that, and I think that shows very much so in the DKSC players that go to Allegiance Academy as well. You know, they're around each other all the time,
yeah.
You know, so it's definitely a big advantage to them as a team. Do you think it's ever difficult to, like, manage motivation levels for them? Like, going back to, like, kind of what we were talking about before?
Yeah, it sometimes is. I think sometimes we find that with the residency piece as well, there can sometimes be that other dynamic to, you know, we might pick up on certain cues of, this kid was off in training tonight. What's going on? You know, and you can, and it may be that there's, you know, what we found in the past is I often joke about this, our athletic trainers tend to be the ones that they know everything. In the academy, they have the finger on the pulse.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll say, you know, for example, you know, little Johnny was a little bit off tonight, and say, well, you know, just heads up, he's just broken up with his girlfriend back home, you know, that. So yeah, you can sometimes get that little insight into maybe what's going on personally that's maybe impacting their performance, and then, you know, a couple of days later they're back in it and back at it. But with the motivation piece, you know, we do have our structure. I'll give you probably a little bit more background on how our teams are structured. We only started under 15. Because of the residency aspect, we just think any younger is
any younger would be tough.
Too young to get them away. We tried it 1 year with under 14s, and it was successful in the fact that the teams were good, but the players maybe just weren't ready. You know, there were some discipline issues and maturity issues, mm-hmm. and homesickness, and so we started under 15. So we have four teams: U15, U16, U17, and U19 that play in the MLS Next League, and then we have the same again underneath that play in the Elite Academy League. The only difference in what they do is the level that they play.
Right.
You know, the through the week they're doing the same amount of training, the same amount of S&C, they go to school the same hours. It's exactly the same. They all have their own full-time coach. You know, every team has its own individual coach. The motivation piece sometimes comes from maybe the secondary teams if they aren't getting, you know, they all want to then, it's like anything, they all want to be on the next rung, mm-hmm. up the ladder. You know, so they always, you know, well, why am I not getting to train with the MLS team? Why am I not getting to play with the MLS next team? And you know, sometimes that can be the challenge of still keeping them motivated if they aren't getting the things that they want, you know.
Yeah.
But at the same time, we want to make sure that if they get something, it's because it's earned and it's given, it's based on merit. You know, I think in today's generation, we have this, you know, almost culture, and I'm guilty of it as well. You know, you want something, you get it straight away. You know, you watch a Netflix show, you can, you know, just roll out the episodes back to back.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, I think that sometimes the boys can just need to be a little bit patient. You know, and ultimately, everyone, what we always try and encourage the boys with, everyone's on a different path.
Yeah,
there's more than one way to get here,
and it's so hard for them to see that. You know, like at that age, you only see what's in front of you. It's very hard to see what's beyond that. You know, 5 years down the line. So
yeah, it's tough, and they're all comparing themselves to each other.
Yeah.
You know, and that's where we sometimes have guys that have. It is. It's natural. Everybody does it, and you know, sometimes it's just having those conversations to keep the boys grounded, keep them humble, and make sure that they're doing what they need to do, and ultimately, you know, if they do the right things and they get a little bit of luck along the way, and we can put them in the right environments. You know, whether it's going on to college, whether it's going on to pro, whether it's signing a, you know, a European contract, you know, so be it. You know,
yeah.
I mean, we still would love to send somebody to Barcelona. What, you know, I go back to probably one of your questions from earlier. You know, part of the affiliation is, you know, we do send guys over to, you know, to La Masia to train. So I was actually just there in November with two of our guys.
Oh,
so
very good.
We took two guys over.
Were they older ones or were they?
So they were a little bit old. One of them was an under 16 player. And then another one was one of our under 19, so a little bit older. He's actually just domestically signed a contract with Orange County in the USL Championship.
Yeah.
So he's signed his first pro deal. But it's great for those boys to go over and see the level, you know,
yeah.
and see the difference. And, you know, I think personally we're getting closer, you know. But there's.
Well, I watched the YouTube videos that you have on your website just about the experience.
Yeah.
And I think one of them, I think it was maybe one of the actual Barcelona coaches there that mentioned, like, they fit into the session, you know. It's not like they don't belong in the session.
Yeah, it was great. I mean, I think one of the videos you saw, year one when we had the trip over there, you know, we had Julian Araujo was one of the guys. He's now with LA Galaxy's top level.
Oh, he's the fullback, right?
Yeah, I'd say.
He's,
but yeah, very high level player. He was one that year one, we were just like, you know, he was with us 1 year. And as a 16-year-old, signed with it. But he went over and it was fantastic out there. You know, fit right in. Could have, you know, if he was, you know, we obviously faced some of the FIFA restrictions. If they're not 18 or then they don't have the European passport, we have to wait until they turn 18. You know, the other ones would be Brooklyn Reigns, who's now with Houston Dynamo. He had multiple trips over there, and you know, the idea was we would have liked to have got him over a little bit more, and then COVID kicked in. And it's difficult then to really, you know, their borders were a little bit more locked, and it was difficult to get someone. And Brooklyn at that point is developing with us, and you know, at some point they outgrow what we can offer.
Sure.
And you know, Brooklyn signed, I think, with Houston Dynamo when he was 16, you know, first team contract, a homegrown contract. So,
yeah.
You know, you have those types of players. That Caden Clark was another one on that trip. So, you know, who's obviously went to New York Red Bull and then Leipzig, and you know, as now obviously I think with Leipzig.
So I guess if there is a player like obviously that you take over and they are good and they want them and like they express like a lot of interest, would that be a situation where y'all maybe keep that player and you would like say, hey, like don't sign anywhere, like just stick it out?
Potentially. The challenge with that sometimes comes in is how do we keep challenging them in our environment and having the family be patient enough to wait until they turn 18 without it hurting their development.
In full
transparency, you know, because what we don't want to do is if someone's 16 and they're going, well, they've already outgrown our under-19s, you know, we don't want to waste 2 years. So, you know, at that point, it's difficult to ask a family or a player to wait because those are two big developmental years for that player.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, absolutely. So my last question is, what are your biggest challenges at Barca Academy?
Good question. And we probably touched on one right there. Before we get to that one, I'll start from the start and say the first challenge we probably face is that we only start teams at under 15, you know, which with the methodology we try and, you know, implement and with the style of play, bringing guys in at that age, you know, sometimes if they haven't been in an environment, if they're coming from an environment that plays a total different style, we have to work with them a little bit to adjust. You know, and that's where, you know, our scouting department and trying to identify the player profile.
Players that are going to fit anyway.
Absolutely, yeah. We always, the fact that we have to build teams from scratch every year at under 15 is a tough challenge, you know, and we'll always try and each year have a core group of our under 15s who are actually under 14s, you know, so that the next year we're not starting from absolute scratch. We've got, you know, maybe five or six guys that we're then building the core around, and it's a constant filter up. But our recruitment department do a really good job of, you know, having the finger on the pulse of the best players around. The challenge that often comes in is if they're settled already in a good club by the time they get to U14, U15, you know, you're sometimes, you know, what we don't want to be is the enemy of everybody, you know, where the best players are maybe coming to us at U14, U15, and people have a resentment towards us. You know, we would always want to try and work with those clubs, you know, to have it be a transparent, you know, communication piece. But it doesn't always, it's not always as easy as that, right? You know, some people can be protective of players, which we get and we understand. Because our thing is we always say to families and players, is, look, we just want to provide an option for you. You know, we think we do a good job of developing players. And for me, competition between clubs can be a good thing, because if there's something that I'm not offering that you are, then I need to find a solution to what can I do to solve that problem. And I think that goes back to the second part of your question. One of the other challenges would be for the top talent is how do we keep them challenged long enough to maybe have a chance, you know, of if it's to go to Europe or if it's to go to Spain. You know, ideally, we'd love to have someone, you know, sign with Barcelona. We know that's a big goal. But we don't think it's that far off. We think we've had guys that, you know, Caden Clark, Julian Araujo, Brooklyn Reigns. There's been a legitimate interest in those guys. It's just been tough to keep them until they turn it in. So the fact that we don't have a professional team internally above us means that the highest level we can go up to is our under-19 MLS next.
Is that part of the plans?
I think it's selfishly, yes, but I think we would need obviously the funding and you know, someone to come in and help back it.
I feel like that would make sense for Barca, though.
Yeah.
Potentially. I think it's something that, you know, that would be something probably I wouldn't be a part of those conversations. It would probably be, as much as I would push for it and say, yeah, if you want to do it, it would make absolute sense. You know, I would say, you know, in an ideal world, we would have a professional team where we could funnel the players to. And then potentially, you know, you could start to get return on investment on your players. Because right now, all we do is, we move them on. We put them in a platform and they move on. And, you know, then they sign for someone. And then ultimately, that's their player. We don't get anything back, which, you know, is fine. But, you know, in an ideal world for us, it would be, I'm not, my personal preferences, I'm not focused too much on that side. I'm more focused on for the development of the players to have them being able to train up with a pro team would be useful. So what we do right now to try and solve that problem, you know, we joined a team into the UPSL league. That's more of a trying to bridge a gap just so they get a chance to play against men. You know, the level isn't as high as the professional game, but you do come up against some
it's good still players. A higher speed of play.
Correct. And then we also at this time of the year, you know, we reach out to clubs and we have a lot of, you know, connections just through events like this and you know, talking with people where we'll, and because a lot of our players have signed with USL Championship clubs, we've set up like 3 or 4 scrimmage games with their teams in pre-season.
Oh, the USL teams?
So, yeah, so okay, for example, we have a, you know, in February 3rd, we're going to play against Colorado Switchbacks. On February 11th, we're going to go and play El Paso Locomotive. On February 15th, we'll play Detroit City. So all three of those are USL Championship. We're trying to see if we can get something set up against Phoenix Rising because they're in our backyard, you know. And if nothing else, hopefully we can give them a good competitive game in preseason where they can, you know, maybe have trialists run through. They can have, you know, guys. It puts them, puts our guys in a shop window where if they do well, who knows? We've had guys in the past that have been brought in then for 2 or 3 week training stints, you know, and then sign, you know. So we always want to be, so I think last year we had 3 or 4 guys sign pro, which is brilliant. And then we go into playoffs and 3 or 4 of my better players aren't there. It doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
Because for us,
because you're doing your job.
Absolutely. Yeah. And we still are then, you know, can put out, as long as we put on a good show on in playoffs and the boys that are there play well, great, you know, and for us, we want to win, like everybody. We go, yeah, we want to win, but as long as the boys are developing and getting where they need to get to, you know, ultimately we can look and go, yeah, well, we're doing our job. And I do forget sometimes how spoiled we are.
Oh, yeah.
We are, you know, we are very much, you know, we have the facilities, we have the field. You know, I'm talking to some guys and they're talking, we've got no fields, we've got, and I forget how spoiled we are with having, you know, we have 8 grass fields at the facility, 6 of them floodlit, you know, so, and we rotate the field so we don't spoil them, you know, and I go, yeah, we are so spoiled because I've been in club environments where you have 5 teams training on 1 field, you know, and it's difficult. It's a challenge, but it's the reality of, you know, the space and the fields and the facilities. And, you know, the boys in our place have these, you know, we certainly say the boys are too spoiled, you know, where they get stuff handed to them. And you go, you haven't earned this yet. You know, you're going to have to put the work in and the grind in a little bit more. But it is really rewarding when you see these guys, you know, some of them coming from tough backgrounds, some of them coming from affluent families. You know, we have a bit of a melting pot of cultures, and it's really interesting sometimes seeing them blend, come together, and then, you know, get the guys that signed pro. You know, we had like Julian Araujo a couple of weeks ago, was FaceTiming our current players, you know, he's a guy that's at LA Galaxy, you know, plays on the Mexican national team, and you know, still has that connection with the academy, and a lot of the boys that will come back and join training in the off season, and you know, it's really good for the younger boys to see that. You know, so, well, look, these guys were here for 3 or 4 years and this is what they're doing now, and that's where I want to be. And you know, they're not all going to get there, but we can help them along the way a little bit and make them be successful as they can be, then, you know, we're doing our job.
1000%. Well, Jed, appreciate your time, man.
I appreciate it as well, Sean.
I know you
thanks,
got
guys.
People to, places to be, people to see. But hey, it was great to finally meet you in person.
Yep.
This was very informative. I feel like I know a lot more about Barca Academy now. I'm looking forward to coming in the summer and doing some summer camps with you guys. So definitely we'll stay in touch. And best of luck the rest of the weekend.
Absolutely. I appreciate your guys' time as well, and thanks for inviting me on.
Absolutely.
Top man, Evan. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.